Before they were banned by an international convention in 1997, Novagens were the most widely stockpiled chemical weapons among the world's militaries. Pioneered in Germany just before World War II, they were found to be far more effective than the blistering agents, such as phosgene and mustard gas, used in World War I. The new weapons work by inhibiting a nerve's ability to stop firing. A class of chemicals, called G-agents because they were developed by Nazi Germany during World War II, were produced in large quantities but never used in battle. Among the G-agents are Tabin, Soman, and Sarin. In the early 1950s, research on the G-agents led to better protective measures against them, and also to the creation of more effective and long-lasting nerve agents. VX, first developed in a British laboratory, was found to be 100 times as poisonous as the G-agents. As little as a single drop of the oily amber liquid can cause uncontrollable twitching, convulsions, and death within 15 minutes of being placed on the skin. It was adopted by the U.S. government as its principal chemical weapon and produced in large quantities from 1961 to 1968. There has been no recorded use of VX as a weapon. Despite the government's assertion that Al-Qaeda was working to acquire VX and that bin Laden had spoken of killing thousands, the response to the attack on the Al-Shifa chemical plant in Khartoum was entirely different from the response to the strike against Afghanistan. In the former case, press coverage about the government's case was not merely skeptical, but plainly dismissive. Congress was largely silent about the administration's case concerning chemical weapons at Al-Shifa. Some members, for partisan reasons, exploited the doubts about the missile strike. Even independently reported stories that should have strengthened the government's case skipped off the consciousness of other journalists and the public without leaving a ripple. Newsday correspondent Tina Sussman reported from Khartoum that the general manager of the Al-Shifa plant was living in bin Laden's villa in the Al-Riyad neighborhood of Khartoum. Osman Suleiman, who had been identified as the manager both by employees at the plant and by the lawyer for the putative owner, moved into the house after bin Laden left it, his neighbors said. When Sussman met with Suleiman and asked if he was indeed the manager, the Sudanese denied this as he sat behind a desk in a downtown Khartoum office whose doors are marked El Shifa in giant blue letters. Suleiman also denied being Suleiman, but eventually admitted who he is. Sussman's report was picked up by the Dallas Morning News and no one else. Indeed, Sudan itself got something of a free ride during the coverage. In the 2 weeks following the attack on Al-Shifa, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Los Angeles Times printed at least 88 stories that made substantive mention of the strike. Only 8 mentioned that Sudan was on the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism. The Los Angeles Times mentioned that fact but once. A telling example of the coverage is the headline on a September 21, 1998, New York Times story by Tim Weiner and James Risen. Decision to strike factory in Sudan based on surmise inferred from evidence. They wrote, "Senior officials now say their case for attacking the factory relied on inference as well as evidence that it produced chemical weapons for Mr. bin Laden's use, and a reconstruction of how the small group and the president picked the bombing targets based on interviews with participants and others at high levels in the national security apparatus offers new details of how an act of war was approved on the basis of shards of evidence gleaned from telephone intercepts, spies, and scientific analysis. In fact, the attack was based on more than surmise, and more than shards of evidence were involved. Inference was indeed used, but its adequacy, indeed necessity as a mode of reasoning by national leaders, was something that was never accepted." In its coverage of Al-Shifa, though, most of the media did embrace one gigantic inference. By attacking a pharmaceutical plant in Sudan, it was said, President Bill Clinton was attempting to wag the dog, to distract the American public from a sex scandal, just as a war against Albania was used for the same purpose in the eponymous Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman movie released 8 months earlier. Clinton's grand jury appearance regarding his relationship with Monica Lewinsky occurred 3 days before the August 20th attack. That event and the universal conviction that life was imitating art swept all considerations of American security aside on talk radio and network television and in the daily papers. Within 48 hours of the missile attacks, NBC News had broadcast clips from the movie 6 times, and every other network ran the footage repeatedly as well. On CNN's Crossfire, the satirist Mark Russell led Pat Buchanan and Bill Press in singing a Wag the Dog song that sounded like Garrison Keillor's Powder Milk Biscuits jingle. The bloodshed in East Africa had been eclipsed by a carnival.